Good morning. Good morning to the coastal freaks. Good morning to the crazies. Good morning to the eagle travelers. Good morning to the Greyhound bus. It's December the 30th, 2024, Boblimp Dock. Just after 4:30 a.m. here on the Olympic Peninsula. It's Monday morning. Two more days, right? Today and tomorrow. Two more days till the end of the year. Two more days, never fear. Yes, indeed. It is Monday. It's almost 4:40 a.m. I'm just here on the Olympic Peninsula drinking some café au lait, shaking off the morning, welcoming the day to come, right? The sun will be coming up here in about 4 fucking hours. Daylight fucking savings time. So I've decided to condense the headlines of Zero Hedge periodically. I took a snapshot using my collective unconscious awareness at around 4:06 a.m. today, Monday, December the 30th, 2024, Boblimp Doc. The bond markets, they are revolting. The bond markets, they are disgusting. Because 179 are dead from living in optimistic countries. Oh my God, Dan. The optimism killed them. They smoked the cigarettes. They drank the whiskey. Because Ray Kurzweil said, welcome, welcome, singularity. Everybody's going to live forever. Technology's going to fix everything. Optimistic people smoke your fucking cigarettes because why not, right? There'll be no cancer. Trump's inauguration. It rejects calls to end chronic inflammation. This is dark. RFK Jr. is going to take a trip to the park. Dumping another hooker, RFK, or a bear. Crypto losers spark anger as new African pendulum swings towards reality and Chinese man doubles down on expanding countermeasures against stiff spirits and Mexican housing problems. Minorities and the elderly remain quite fragile. That's what Jolani says. He says it'll take the blood of four-year-olds, and he says that Yellen is forcing the Treasury to shove dildos up her butt. He says that Yellen is telling the Treasury to shove dildos up Jolani's butt. But if, as long as the minorities and the elderly get their four-year-old blood, Trump's inauguration's gonna reject all the chronic inflammation, you motherfucker. Those are headlines from Zero Hedge. That's how much they mean. That's how much you should fucking care. Okay. So you remember back in like the day you know, before the internet really became a thing, when we had those 1-900 numbers and those late night commercials for those weird VHS tapes, like, I don't know, Faces of Death. Well, one of those really cool sort of like whatever you want to call it type, I don't know, film series came along back in the day. I remember the commercials from the 90s. It was, you know, when animals attack. When those animals attack. Maybe there's a cameraman waiting nearby. You're on your skis. You're on your knees. You're eaten by a fucking animal. But, you know, at least that dude got good footage, right? And by the way, those particular little videos remind me of the George Floyd and other events of recent note. If you know, you know. You have to wonder, right? Because if you have the perfect shot of seeing a cougar kill someone, then the next question is, why didn't you, why didn't you help? It's kind of like those perfect camera shots of the Apollo missions, right? Some of them make sense. Some of them don't make a lot of sense, you know, especially when they're leaving the moon. And you do have to ask yourself who's holding the camera. And the response from NASA is, well, you know, it's alien Jesus. Alien Jesus. Oh my God, Dan. Yeah, so I want to read an article from the Smithsonian Magazine. The article was published on December the 20th, 2024, Bo Blimp Doc. It was written by Eli Wizovich, whatever. Headline, squirrels are displaying widespread carnivorous behavior for the first time in a California park, new study finds. The familiar rodents, known for eating nuts and seeds, have been spotted hunting and decapitating voles in a gruesome dietary adaptation. Scientists say it might signal resiliency in the face of future environmental pressures. Oh boy, yeah. In the rolling green hills of California's Briones Regional Park, not far from the urban bustle of Oakland and Berkeley, the squirrels are not what they seem. Instead of simply stuffing their cheeks with fruits and nuts and seeds, the California ground squirrels are known now to hunt and kill and decapitate and consume voles, a fellow rodent species. According to research published, you know, Wednesday, right? Wednesday, in the Journal of Ethology. This was shocking, study lead author Jennifer E. Smith, a professor of biology at the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire, says in a statement. We had never seen this behavior before, ever. Most people are very familiar with squirrels, accustomed to seeing the animals on their streets or in their yards. And Smith is even more so. Since 2013, she has led the long-term behavioral ecology of California Ground Squirrels Project, say that 10 times fast, you fuck, which monitors the squirrel genetics, social behavior, and physiological stress responses in the San Francisco Bay Area. But even with her intimate knowledge of the rodents, it was only this year that her research team observed ground squirrels actively pursuing and eating meat. Yeah, intimate knowledge of the rodents. Where's Richard Gere when you need him? If you know, you know. The initial discovery was made by undergraduate researchers who returned from the field site in Briones Regional Park earlier this year with videos of the squirrels' behavior to show their incredulous supervisors. At first, we questioned what was going on, Smith tells Susie Dundas of San Francisco Gate, but seeing the videos was astounding and shifted my perspective on a species that I have spent the last 12 years of my life studying. Oh boy, that's a long time, 12 fucking years. Smith and her team documented 74 interactions between ground squirrels and voles between June and July. In 42% of the interactions, the squirrels were hunting the smaller rodents. From then, we saw that behavior almost every day, Sonia Wild, a postdoctoral researcher and stripper at the University of California, Davis, who co-leads the project with Smith, says in a statement, Once we started looking, we saw it everywhere. Though they're largely vegetarians. Squirrels have long been known to occasionally consume insects, small bird eggs, or meat left out by humans. But direct study of hunting behavior by squirrels remains rare. According to the study, this widespread carnivorous behavior, Smith tells San Francisco Gate, was therefore groundbreaking. In most recorded cases included in the paper, a single squirrel would pursue a single vole across the open landscape, rather than lying in wait or hunting in a group. Sometimes with a stalking motion and a pounce, it would tackle the vole, restrain it with its forepaws, bite the vole's neck, and remove its head. Then the squirrel would either strip the fur from the vole to expose cartilage, meat, and organs, or tear the meat directly out from the torso. The authors of the study suggest this change in diet is a response to a booming vole population, using reports from citizen scientists on iNaturalist, an app that allows users to submit bullshit photos of plants and animals with bullshit IP addresses that nobody ever researches or checks, to publish data that's probably total crap. What's most striking and incredible is the speed at which they shifted their behavior, this local surge in vole abundance. It's a wonderful way for them to capitalize on a very abundant resource to provide enough sustenance for many squirrels to use. John Koprowski, a wildlife biologist at the University of Wyoming who was not involved in the study, tells CNN. Yeah, I'm done with this. It's almost over. There's a couple more paragraphs of squirrels of all ages hunting voles, and in the face of insults of climate change, it's awesome that they're resilient, blah, blah, blah. You know, acorns and seeds are in short supply. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Nobody wants to pay for the egg. Shit, fuck, shit. Digital technology can inform the science. Fuck, shit, Smith says in a statement, but there's no replacement for total sexual abasement. That's your Eli Wizovich story of bullshit, if you wanted to hear it. Dan, you're gonna get sued. I don't really. Wow, you promise, you fuck. God, that would make for a fucking fun day. Here's an article from 2021 from The Guardian. I'm not actually gonna read it for a couple reasons, but the first reason is I think I probably read this article already a number of years ago, but you can read it. It's an article from 2021, it's from The Guardian, and it deals with the fact that in New York City, and again, this was published, blah, 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 yeah, 3 years ago, January 2021, so more like 4 years ago almost. Anyways, it deals with the fact that squirrels were attacking New York City neighborhoods, people running up their legs, biting into their legs. You can read it if you want to. And then there's a couple articles about kangaroos eating one another because, you know, there was a drought, blah, 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 nobody cares. And then a few links to the story of Azaria Chamberlain, you know, the dingo ate my baby, if you want that mythology, fuck, 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 fuck. I don't know why I fixated on this. I love stories, and maybe this is worth a pause. I kind of love stories where animals attack people, not because I want people to be attacked, but because a lot of folks have a very shitty attitude towards nature. And so periodically a shark eats a scuba diver, or if I'm still waiting for it, I think they're covering it up myself, but I've been talking about this for about 6 years. I'm still waiting for a story about an orca whale attacking a kayaker. I know that it sounds crazy, but again, if these little squirrels can learn how to eat more red meat, well, gee, they're just adapting. And if the local pods in the Puget Sound can't get enough salmon, well, how can I phrase this, orca? You can dabble in the long pig. You got cousin orcas that love to eat the little seals. I tell you something. You can dabble in a long pig. Yeah, you might eat a old person with a titanium implant, and probably everybody you eat's gonna be toxic and filled with drugs. You know, especially the kayakers. Dan, those are the drugs the docs prescribe. Well, then they're okay. Yeah. I remember watching the documentary Blackfish for the first time. And I shouldn't have laughed, but at certain points I did. I chuckled because there is this incredible arrogance and hubris and stupidity that a lot of people have towards nature. I'm not a hippie. I'm not a member of the Green Party. I'm an anarchist, and I think the solution to pollution is the revolution of freedom, which means that no more welfare, that also means no more corporate welfare. That means no handouts to big companies so they can poop on planet Earth. Basically, it means that we have to adapt. And that the debt-driven Keynesian model, which is maladaptive, that doesn't fit anything in nature other than cancer, that's got to end. Now, a lot of folks don't want to hear it. They believe that somehow you can magically have your freedom and eat it too, like it's some type of liberty Ouroboros. But liberty comes with responsibility, yeah. Sorry about that. So if we got rid of the government, and if humans were allowed to interact in free ways, you know, based on relationships of respect, all things being equal, I think nature would heal. Because humans wouldn't be able to, oh, we're going to do the $50 million. How are you going to pay for it? Oh, it's a bond. We'll pay up. Your kids will pay it off 700 years from now, long after the nuclear plant melts down. Okay. You see, we got to stop doing that bullshit. Okay, when people come up to me and say, well, Dan, we got to get rid of the welfare queens. What about Lockheed? What about NASA? The whole Department of Defense. Tell me more about these fucking welfare queens. Because they're all over the place. And if your comeback is, we can't survive without nuclear weapons, my result is we will not survive if nuclear weapons are the things that we think are essential. You will not survive. Freedom will not survive. Your society will turn to shit if you have that much love and respect for, you know, Oppenheimer's little surprise. Yeah, Christmas cracker. We need to have more respect. This place, this is not Eden. This is not a crib. The Lord is not going to refill a lake if we drain it. The Lord is not going to clean up the oceans if we poison them. I believe the Lord will help us. And if we take one step towards the Lord will take an infinite number of steps towards us. So if the answer to the question is, or the question is, Dan, you mean Jesus won't do anything? Well, that's not the answer. But I think we do have to do some things ourselves. And one of them is to take responsibility, which means no more debt-driven economy. No more fucking banks as they currently exist. No more government-printed money. No more of any of it. It doesn't fit with nature. It only fits with disaster. But nature's metal, folks. And I like the article about the squirrel because it reminds me of a simple truth. And if you live in a city, I think you're going to see it. I think you're going to see it with your own fucking eyes within the next 2 years. And that's a conservative estimate. With your own two eyes. I'm staying because my house prices tripled. Your house prices could quadruple days after there's no food at the grocery store. Because that's how much bullshit propaganda is being fed to you. And the great thing about bullshit propaganda is that, I don't know how to put it, you know, it doesn't require any seeds or water or soil that actually contains nutrients. In fact, they prefer, in the figurative sense, the desert soil of your broken mind. Yeah. But if you decide to stay in the cities, because for a while it's going to be quite terrible, and that's if you're an optimist, and we only use terms like for a while, right? You might see with your own eyes this adaptive behavior that this Professor Smith is so fucking excited about. She's from Wisconsin. She must be adaptive if you know, you know. You're going to see people doing this. You're going to see hungry people. It'll be in week 3 or 4. It'll be within the first month. It won't be everybody at first. And then, you know, the moms and the dads are probably going to join forces. And some of them, let's be blunt, are going to say, my kids are more valuable than yours. And then they're the cat women. The cat women of the city. These are the darkest devils. They're going to be sexy and hot. They're going to wear red dresses and have red lipstick. They're going to have a kitchen cabinet filled with turmeric. They're going to have a kitchen cabinet filled with curry powder. They're going to have certain essentials stockpiled to the rim. They're going to have rice, maybe 5 years worth. And they might even have some chickpeas and some other kinds of crap. They'll go down to the street with a switchblade and their garter and a .357 Magnum. They'll look sexy and weak, but don't you mistake, that's them, like a fucking anglerfish sticking out the little glow-glow. She'll give you a look like, hey buddy, I know it's crap and there ain't no cheese at the cheese store, but you want to come home and have some fish or other kinds of seafood? So you'll follow her up to her apartment. It's on the 10th floor. You're a little tired. You're a little weak. She's a kind of freak. She takes her time. And then you don't notice it. Maybe it's an ice pick through the eardrum. Maybe it goes through the back of the head. Maybe it's the stiletto through the, you know, across the throat. You won't notice. You won't care. You will have maximized as much bliss as you're going to receive in the time of city despair. And I know I've told this story before to the pimps and the whiskey nuts and the whores. I told this to my listeners and my glisteners, all my friends out there who live on submarines. The cat women of Grinken time will be some of the most dangerous freaks you'll come across. They love their cats way more than they'll ever love you, buddy. They'll treat their cats with respect. And as their cats consume your pureed meat mixed with turmeric and cilantro so neat, cat lady will listen to some jazz music and stare majestically out into the darkness because, hey, there's 2 blackouts today and the lights don't come on until next week. And maybe she lives in Chicago. Maybe she lives in New York, Miami, San Francisco. Maybe she's an LA darling. Maybe she lives in San Diego. Maybe she lives in Dallas, Texas. Hey there, Louisville. There's a little country girl. She's walking the street. She has a cat named Trixie. Thank you. be careful, folks. If you think this story is just about squirrels, you're very confused. If you believe, like, let's just say you're an atheist, and it's okay. If you listen to my podcast, you probably know I spent most of my life thus far as an atheist, so I don't beat up on atheists, but let's just say you're an atheist, okay? And you read in the books about human beings, you know, Australopithecus, you know, other types of creatures, the early Cro-Magnon, what the fuck happened to Neanderthal? That's a terrible story. If you know about the archaeological finds and anthropological finds in China that go back 60,000 years that seem to demonstrate humans cracking open the bones of other humans and drinking their marrow by the fire. And, you know, turning human bones into flutes, probably Neanderthal bones too. It's a short trip, brothers and sisters. It's Leningrad, 1942. It's a bunch of fucking South American soccer players in the Andes. It's a short fucking trip to that ugly place that now the squirrel knows, you know, the kangaroo, the orca will know, in a sense. Fucking orca. Anyways, next topic, next subject, right, Dan? You wasted too much time on that shit, Dan, and now you're gonna die. So, yesterday, Zero Hedge published an article about the aviation disaster in South Korea. And the headline, and I expected them to change it throughout the day because it was just too stupid to stay this stupid. And I'm sure that they have an explanation for why it's this stupid. And guess what? I don't fucking care. The headline was 179 dead in South Korea's worst ever aviation disaster. Well, I'm old enough to remember KAL-007. KAL-007. Korean Airlines 007. On its way to what? Seoul? Getting shot down by the fucking commies. And you can say, well, Dan, that didn't happen at a Korean airport or in Korea. Okay. You know, but then in the same article, they reference an event near Guam. So no, I kind of call bullshit on this. But this is a good example of what I talked to you about. So if you're a budding amateur Sovietologist, these are the types of stories you should be on the lookout for. This is clearly not the worst South Korean airline event, even in the article itself, I believe, if you look at it, and I don't know if it's still posted, I think it is, but even in there, they mention this other event involving Guam or something, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, 1997, 228 lives. Well, yeah, it seems to me that that's a bigger number than 179. I don't think I want to spend time on this too much, except to say that I only go to Zero Hedge now. Not because I have respect for them, but because it's kind of like that Winston Churchill quote, Zero Hedge is the worst kind of news ever, except for everything else, you know? Zero Hedge is terrible, but everything else is that much worse. So yeah, I go to the headlines and I look at them. This is an example of a story that if you're interested, you should dig deeper into, because I don't think this is accidental. I don't think that Zero Hedge makes mistakes like this purely because they're incompetent. It could be Hanlon's razor, but it might not be. Next topic. So I have great news, and this is really great news. I got an email yesterday. I've been getting so much stalker garbage recently. It's not the first time. There have been many bursts of stalker garbage, interestingly enough, going back to 2011 when I set up my first blog. But it's all random. All random. All completely fucking random. You know. I got an email from Azim Hashim Premji. He said, good day, planetary status report at gmail.com. I'm Asim Hashim Premji, an Indian business tycoon. I've decided to donate $850,000 to you, you fuck. If you're interested in my donation, get back to me. Well, I gave him the emails of my friends, if you know, you know. You can also read more about me via the link below, Asim Premji, at Wikipedia. I mean, I do. It's like I say to myself, I cannot believe Asim Premji. I just can't believe it. I mean, can you believe it? Ugh. I don't know. I think that email disappeared too. It's funny. It's funny the stuff that stays in my account for me to look at, and it's funny the stuff that just fucking disappears. You know, I don't know. It's weird. But I think it just vaporized. Anyways, you can go to the link yourself. I was going to conveniently click on it, but Asim Premji prevented me from doing so because why? I don't know. Something to do with Asim Premji. Fuck. This is weird. Between my friends, the stalkers, and what Gmail's currently doing, it's just too coincidental to be this coincidental. It's funny, though. Anywho, I don't know that Asim Premji, Asim Hashim Premji, CEO of Wipro Limited. I don't know if Asim Hashim Premji is even real or not. I think lots of people have Wikipedia articles, and I think some of them might exist. I don't really have great thoughts about guys like Donald Trump, you know? Like, I think a lot of you folks take for granted these simple binaries, you know? Epstein committed suicide. Epstein was killed, huh? Epstein might have, you know, faked his death. Donald Trump is evil. Donald Trump is good. Donald Trump might not be a real person, you fuck. I mean, you gotta get beyond the 1, 2, 3, 4. Whatever number of choices they give you, you should always add one. Treat it like an arithmetic series. Ask the question of what AN+1 is. That's my advice, because they're never gonna let you go there. They'll give you 2 options, but not 3. They'll give you 5, but not 6. They'll say it's 1 through 10, but it's never 1 through 11. Yeah. But Asim Hashim Premji, a man of Indian descent and therefore loved by Wagyu lady of GOP convention might, if you know, you know, GOP convention night, filled with love, greasy glove. Asim Hashim Premji. I bet he's friends with Elon Musk. So here's a headline with some subtext from Zero Hedge. Trump's inauguration on Martin Luther King Day is appropriate. Rest in peace, Dr. King. Donald Trump has heard your dream and is making it come true. I gotta read this shit. I don't want to, but I got... This is Schadenfreude, by the way. This bullshit about... Wow, it's still the worst ever disaster. Huh. I guess the KAL thing doesn't count. Here's an article from Zero Hedge, but I'm sure it's from Epic Times. No, it's from The American Thinker. It's written by Bill Hansman. The title, Trump's Inauguration on MLK Day is Appropriate, published today. Margaret Hartman, writing for The Intelligencer, published under the banner of the New York Magazine, writes that she finds it unpleasant that Donald Trump's second inauguration will fall on the annual Martin Luther King holiday. MLK Day is celebrated on the third Monday of each January, thus, it's not always on January 20th. However, by amended constitutional edict, January 20th is Inauguration Day every 4 years. yeah, I don't want to read this. This is so dumb. You know, blah, blah, blah. Trump really loves everybody and is helping everybody, no matter the color of their skin, blah, blah, blah. I don't really know the truth of MLK or Donald Trump. I don't. I know what we're told. I know what I was told since I was a kid. The problem is, a lot of the shit I've been told since I was a kid turned out to be bullshit. So I have a hard time even thinking about the MLK story in unironic terms. Does that mean he's a good guy, a bad guy? Who knows? We know, at least we were told, that somebody killed him, right? We know that. But do we? And if we know that somebody killed him, let's say we do, what does that even mean? Does that mean he was a good guy trying to do good things, or a bad guy trying to do good things, or a bad guy getting ready to do bad things? So I don't know. I cannot accept the things I was taught as a child anymore as truths. I can't, not without better evidence. And the evidence is thin. You know, you say, well, we went to the moon. Okay. But knowing what I know of science and the requirement of, you know, duplication, confirmation, another nation would have needed to go to the moon. Not us, twice, three times. Oh, Dan, I got a car that gets 500 miles to the gallon. I want someone else to reproduce your experiment. Oh, they can't do that. Well, then maybe you're full of shit. No offense. Yeah. So I need better evidence for some of these claims. You know, as Carl Sagan once said, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. And if you're going to tell me you went to the moon, it better be more than bouncing a laser off of a surface that's already reflective. It better be better evidence than what we have. And if it's not, then at this point, statistically, I have to say that both space and the moon seems like a question mark. You know, it's really a numerator-denominator problem. And I'm sorry, that's the way it is. It's kind of like Lindbergh. If Lindbergh crossed the Atlantic and 60 years later we were still talking about doing it again in an airplane, that would be crazy. So yeah, when it comes to things like Martin Luther King or, you know, anything to do with the Vietnam War or JFK or MLK or JFK's brother, you know, RFK. When it comes to all these freaks, I have no idea. And I don't think the death of a freak proves anything, because I still can't tell you, how do you verify that even these things happened? It's like the McPoyle thing from last summer. Someone will say, well, a random bystander was killed. I can't tell you that happened. And most of you fucks were dissecting every person after Sandy Hook, for years. I spent a couple hours asking the question, how the fuck did they instantly have the Iwo Jima shot? And most of the fucks on quote-unquote Twitter, you know, the open free space, came at me with fucking daggers. So go fuck yourself, okay? You can spend a decade on Sandy Hook, but you can look at that rinky-dink McPoyle assassination from July and take it fucking seriously? Are you a fucking joke? Dan, it was so real. I know, it was so fucking real. I know. It was a real ceremony, I think. I think it was an occult ceremony. I think we could find out this year. You know. Definitely, Trump's been earmarked. And at the convention, a lot of his followers got earmarked too. And I don't ever remember Jesus asking for earmarks. But there's another guy who might, you know. Yeah. Trump is performing miracles, folks. He is. There are people on the right and the left joining hands over Papa Blump. Some of them know the deal and are doing so disingenuously because they know it's bullshit. And a lot of them are just useful idiots. It's kind of like Antifa during the summer of 2020. A lot of the motherfuckers who went into those crowds actually thought they were helping. A fair portion were getting paid. And every once in a while, and I got a few on video, I think, you'd see an operator. And some of these operators are local hires. Local police, Seattle police. I took a few pictures of them LARPing Antifa. But some of them are FBI, CIA. These are old stories going back to the 60s, Operation Chaos. And through the NGOs, they'll fund operators, controllers, people who control the crowd. Oh, don't go down this street. No, because there were streets they did not go down. These are streets where I would say the population probably had a shit ton of, you know, illegal AK-47s, let's put it that way. That was a fun fact about that weird-ass bullshit of the summer of 2020 in Seattle, how orchestrated it was. You didn't see it unless you saw it up close, and I saw it up close. And all the bullshit that surrounded it, to include The Guardian talking about buildings burning down that never did. Ever. Yeah. Be careful of all these stories, and right now be careful of the Trump Love Fest. I know that you want to hear in your head the song Happy Days Are Here Again, and therefore I'm a giant fucking asshole for telling you that's not true. I don't mind being the asshole. If you can listen to my voice and understand that A, it's not the end of the world, and B, just because it's not the end of the world doesn't mean you're going to get some type of Disney fucking ending. If you can accept that, then you can deal. If you can't accept it, you won't be able to deal. If you define the world in terms of your Bitcoin, you won't be able to deal, sorry. If you define the world in terms of the internet, as it exists, definitely, you won't be able to deal. If you define the world as in having reliable electricity, or frankly, any electricity at all, you will not be able to deal. You won't. A time is coming where going 20 miles will be harder, way more difficult than going 2,000 miles today, perhaps 100 times harder. And you hear that, you don't believe it. It's going to happen. And that old saying from Saudi Arabia about how my grandfather rode a camel, and I drive a Mercedes-Benz, but my grandson will ride a camel. It's like that, isn't it? And if you define that as the arc of the end of the world, then yeah, you're going to have fucking problems. If you can hang on to the fact that there are things that matter and things that don't, if you can hang on to the fact that we are adaptive creatures, just like the squirrels. That doesn't mean we have to go around eating other people. We can make better choices, but it does require, and let me repeat that, making better choices. And if all your eggs are in the Keynesian print, print, money, money, make-believe banker bullshit, yeah, that doesn't amount to better choices, although it feels that way right now, puddle flower. It does. The Keynesian shit is still working for you. And it's going to work and keep working in a sense. Like I said, and I've been saying this consistently since 2021, it'll keep working long after the food is gone. Probably days, if not weeks. You will see stock prices go up. They'll tell you your house price is going up. They'll say, remember the toilet paper shortage? That corn grizzle will be back soon. They will take their boy who cried wolf psyop and they'll use it to stretch you out to the point that even after the electricity's been out, even after the water, you know, doesn't flow, after the charge on your phone is gone, you'll sit and stare at a blank rectangle, a little chunk of gold and steel and silicon, and you'll hope it'll turn on by itself, and maybe one of Alex Jones's buses will come by and pick you up for soup. What's most likely is somebody's going to come by one night, turn you into soup, right? Ask a squirrel. Ask Richard Gere. Ask the cat women of Chicago. They'll tell you up and down the Gold Coast. They'll tell you the kitty's staying alive. But they'll walk about to those martini bars with their sexiness, even as the food empties out. And they'll be okay, because they got a nice walk-in fridge, and they got a generator, and they got makeup, and they got their kitty. And they're going to keep their kitty alive any way they can, even if it takes eating a man. It is Monday, December the 30th, 2024, Boblimpdoc. It's almost 5:30 a.m. for the humans that breathe fire and live off of gasoline wax. If you like this podcast, you can donate to it. I haven't really been asking for money much recently because, I'm doing okay. I've got food, water, shelter. That's like winning the lottery this year. I've got a job. I don't love it. I don't hate it. I might be helping people a little, but I don't really know. But I got a life. I got things that I need and a few things I want. And so I'm not indigent. And so if you wanted to donate, don't donate because you think I need it. On the other hand, everybody can use a little extra, right? But before you do donate, if you want to, listen to the fucking disclaimer. Take care of your food, water, shelter first, which means that, you know, work on attaining the paradise I have. A room, a shower, a kitchen. If you haven't done that yet, then please do not donate to my podcast. You can listen all you want to. Listening's free. There's no paywall. But don't donate if you don't have the fucking money, okay? Take care of yourself. If nobody cares about you, I guess you can pretend I do. I don't know you, all five of you. If there are people in your life, and this is people who live in your life, I don't mean internet people, you need to really be breaking free that shit about now. That's a 2019 problem that you had 5 fucking years to take care of. So I don't mean internet people. I don't mean Facebook people you've never met. I don't mean dating people you've never met on the dating site. I don't mean Twitter people. I don't mean anybody you can't verify as real. But if there are real people, IRL, in your life, family, friends, people you know, people that need help, help them first. Help them first before you ever donate because you like my podcast. That's okay. That's what you should do. If you have pets, dogs, cats, you name it, and you're setting aside food for yourself, you know, you can go the cat lady route, right? The dark, sexy cat lady. Huh? Be careful of that femme fatale. Yeah. If you have pets and you don't want to chop up people to feed them to your pets for lots of really good reasons, and you have 6 months of food set aside for your family, which is optimism, make sure you have 6 months set aside for your pet. Okay? Unless you intend to eat your pet. Or to feed your pet other humans. Okay? And it's not the end of the world. I do think we're, you know, a storm was on the horizon in 2019. And I do believe that our government, the United States government, and many other governments, to include the Russian government and the Chinese government, have been doing everything they can for the last 5 years to cover it up. They have been carpet bombing the third eye, and they haven't stopped. And even if I'm right, it doesn't matter. That part doesn't matter. The part about being right at this point is so fucking irrelevant. It doesn't fucking matter. But, and this is critical, it's not the end of the world. We are on the verge of a storm. I don't know how big it is. The question you need to ask is, if you believe, as I do, that they have been operating a program of high-intensity strategic military psychological warfare since early 2020. And they'd been doing it continuously for 5 years almost. The question is, what does that cover up? Is it good or bad? I think logically we probably could say it's probably not good. And is it big or small? I'm thinking it's bigger than a bread box. In my humble opinion, in 2020, the people that run the world, that had all the power to do every fucking despicable thing you could imagine for 7,000 fucking years, took a fucking wrench to the machine. The machine that fed them victims, the machine that they could steal from, the machine that they could enslave and control, the machine that hid them from the eye of God, or at least they thought so. Yeah, for 7,000 years, they had the machine. And then they tossed a bomb and a wrench and explosives into it. So what the fuck do you think they're hiding? Probably not something good. It still doesn't mean the end of the world. And because it's not the end of the world, before you donate to my shitty podcast, donate to yourself. Because even though it's not the end of the world, I think some things are going to disappear. For a while, not forever. Electricity, for a lot of people, could disappear for a while. Not forever. The internet could be really spotty. It could even be gone for a lot of people for a while. Not forever. Normality, in any functional sense, which means being able to go to a store and buy groceries, being able to go get gasoline predictably, even being able to drive your vehicle with spare parts available. These things will be gone for a while, maybe decades, but maybe not forever. And in the place is not going to be pure hell. It'll be survival. Look around. Look at your own life. When was there a day that you, as a person like me, most of the people that know me, listen to me, or just like me in a sense, economically, can you name a time in your life when it was easy? Perhaps you've already been here for a while. And maybe it will get harder for you, just like it'll get harder for me. But I've been to the dumpster about once a decade, my whole adult life. And if you know, you know. So I understand what it means to lose everything. I also know that losing all your shit, all your stuff, all your crap, is not the end of the world. So before you donate to me, do yourself a favor. Pick something in your life that I would say is more a part of the past than the future, and enjoy it because it could be gone. And you will not be kicking yourself in the ass for not buying more Bitcoin, but I promise you, a time will come in the not too distant future where you will be, in a sense, kicking yourself in the ass for not taking that girl out to the restaurant, for not, you know, maybe going to see a movie that didn't suck. A lot of them do now. You'll kick yourself in the ass for not taking that trip, for not doing the things you could have done when you could have, because you were thinking about the future. You thought you knew the future. Here's what I'll tell you about the future. Nobody fucking knows except for God. I am 100% certain, in my opinion, that what we're heading towards is uglier than most people have ever experienced, unless, of course, you lived in other places, other countries. Like, if you grew up in Yugoslavia in the 1990s, then you probably understand, or at least have a better understanding. A lot of people don't. In the United States, a lot of people don't. But there are parts of this country for the last several decades that have been hell. And if you've lived there, then you're home already. In fact, it's a lot like that billboard. You know the billboard when you're stuck in traffic and it says, if you lived here, you'd be home already? If you lived in those places, if you've been to the dumpster, if you left all your shit by the wayside because you couldn't carry it, you're home already. But you and I and all of us should remember, we're not dead yet. And we can't really know what happens, but we do know this, we're alive today. And if we're alive today, why not take some of what we produce and be a little bit happy? I'm not saying burn the seed. I'm not saying get rid of your savings. you need to make your own judicious choices about your wealth. I would recommend selling your house in the city and moving to the country, but to me, that's just fucking common sense at this point. The rest of it's up to you, buddy. But it's not the end of the world. If you've done everything you need to, a lot of things you want to, if you're so wealthy, you've got extra money, then you can donate as much as you want to, just like Asim Hashim Premji. In fact, if you wanted to donate $850,000, Asim Hashim Premji, a CEO of Wipro Limited, a good friend of Elon Musk, they gave each other hand jobs in college. You can donate all that money, Asim. I know that you're the CEO of Wipro, and it's really complicated to find my link, but you could donate it in chunks. Oh, I can't do all eight. I know you can't, but you could do $4,000 a month. Try to seam, Premji. It'll be cheaper because I don't think there are that many months left to seam, and I could spend the $4,000. So if you're real, which you're not, why don't you just find my fucking link, you technological genius, Asim? It is Monday, December the 30th, 2024. The clock is ticking down. Take away your frown. A love sausage party is waiting in the midst somewhere down the road. Get into your Chevy pickup and drive. If you want to stay alive, get into your Chevy pickup and drive. Get out of the Ford pickup. Pull down at the side, you Dodge. Get into your fucking Chevy pickup if you want to fucking survive. And have a great Monday.